Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And thank you, everybody, for listening in. Again, this is Andrew Fetter with When Pigs Fly, because somehow BS doesn't. Also, I want to wish everybody out there, my Jewish listeners, I know next week is your New Year, so I wish everybody a very happy New Year, and I guess the following week is Yom Kippur, so a Chatima Tova. May your name be inscribed in the Book of Life, as they say. I have some very special guests. It's a special time of that year. We do it every quarter, since this is what they call the equinox time. We often question what the situation, almost like what our future is, our immediate future, and things like that, and wonder what the conditions are. And one of the best aspects of doing is always like wondering what the weather conditions. So, like, if you want to know what's going to happen, whether to take a raincoat or an umbrella or it's going to be sunny, you would listen to the weather report. And sort of the same thing is if you have a very well informed astrological report, it sort of does the same thing, gives you sort of a hint of coming events. So, once again, I'm very honored to have Carrie Fezza, who is an esteemed intuitive and an internationally known astrologer, to present her future analysis for the next 3 months. So how are you doing, Carrie?
I'm good, Andy, and thanks for always having me on your show for these things. It's fun to do and enlighten everybody, you know?
So what do you... let me ask you this before, because I want to get into your analysis. From your perspective, what do you feel that's like when people listen to astrology, a lot of people take it for ad hoc, basically that whatever it's going to happen is actually going to happen. But what is your opinion to how to look at someone who gives you an astrological analysis or report? What is your view and when somebody reads it or understands it?
How to use it constructively, so to speak, because people are like, well, you can't live your life by the stars. And in any form of divination, you don't want to live your life by it. You don't want to have to call your psychic before you make do anything, everything. But astrology is a really helpful tool. It's not, I don't want to say hokey, because I do intuitive readings and I do tarot card readings. And they work, and I can't always just tell you how it works, but it does. With astrology, it's much more linear. You can pinpoint the dates and times of events right down to the hour when they're most likely to work. It involves a lot of math and different configurations with the planet, so it's a lot more, say, scientific than, say, palm reading, tarot, psychometry and that type of thing. So for people who like things concrete and having something to visualize or know that their forecast is coming from that, it works. And when we do the equinox and solstice reports, we always use the day when the sun is switching into signs for the new seasons. Like for the autumnal equinox, the sun is entering the sign of Libra, which it ushers in not just the sign of Libra, but that three-month period. And then I look at all the planets on the day of that event and correspond them to each other and derive a forecast for not just that day, but for that three-month period. It's what would be called, I guess, electional astrology, constructing a chart for an event. Like, you can do an astrological chart for your wedding day if you wanted, or opening up a business. And that's when astrology becomes a really powerful tool. When you're doing big things, like opening a business, buying stocks, creating a company, you would be wise to check in with an astrologer and find out the correct date and times to do that.
Which makes sense, sort of like what... a lot of business people, but not just business people, for millennium, political leaders, kings and queens and presidents have always used, and dictators have always used astrology to make their policies and their determinations when they want to do, whether it's war or peace or whatever in their mind, they utilize that as a strategic aspect, which they don't like to talk about. I mean, even President Reagan ran it over to with his wife by an astrologist to determine when he should do certain events.
You're absolutely right, because back in the day, you know, astrology was very much more respected, and ancient kings and queens always consulted astrologers before making major moves, just like you said. And with the advancement, I guess you would say, of Christianity, and it being looked at as a term of prophecy or forecasting, hocus pocus, it was shoved to the side and deemed as bad or of the devil, which I've never understood, because God created the planets and we're just interpreting the planets within our solar system. But it got taken much less seriously. But there are leaders, like you said, like Ronald Reagan, who used this, and it may have even saved his life. When you really understand how it works, or you have a good astrologer like myself who understands and appreciates the relationship between the planets, it can be a very helpful and powerful tool. But you have to know, like anything, before you use it, what you're dealing with and how to use it appropriately. And if you don't have the time and energy or desire to learn astrology, you want to hire someone that you respect and is accurate within their predictive means.
Well said. Let me ask you this, since you're starting to get into it with our equinox, now we're heading, I guess, the sun into Libra. I think you said something, if I'm not right, opposite Uranus, something with Aries. Can you explain all that stuff and how that actually it relates into, instead of high-end trigonometry for us who don't understand what that means, okay.
Whenever you have the solstice or the equinox charts, you're always dealing with the cardinal signs. Within the zodiac, there's four cardinal signs, four fixed signs, and four mutable signs. 4 times 3 is 12. So you come up with 12 zodiac signs. And the four cardinal signs, when the sun enters into them, it always marks the beginning of the solstices and the equinoxes, and those are very crucial points within the zodiac itself. That being said, we look at the chart, how it lays out with the sun entering Libra, ushering in the autumnal equinox, and just on that day and time, today, as a matter of fact, where the planets fall in the sky in relation to that. Because in astrology, we always look at the planets, and we include the sun and the moon as a planet, because we're looking at everything in relation to the Earth, because we live on the Earth, as opposed to astronomy, whereas we relate everything to the sun. Because people live on Earth, we relate the planets to the Earth and how they appear to be rotating around us. So anything that falls zero cardinal signs on the solstice and the equinoxes, which will always be your sun, is an important point. But when some of the other planets happen to fall in or close to the degree of the cardinal signs, zero cardinal signs, that becomes major in the chart. And for the last couple of years, since the economy took a downturn, we've had Pluto very close to zero Capricorn. Right now, it is at four degrees Capricorn, which still puts it 4 degrees away from the zero point. And it's in a hard aspect to the Libra sun, which a hard aspect means just that. It's an uncomfortable energy. And this chart, it falls in the private sector of the home and the family, our country, and domesticity. So Pluto rules turmoil, so we're still going through all that, you know, domestic turmoil, you know, unrest, and it's running in conflict with our desire, which is in Libra now, which is for harmony, balance, trying to find a happy medium. And opposite our sun, the last year, Uranus has been near the 0 degrees Aries point, which is another cardinal sign. And it weighs in at this chart at 2 degrees, making it very crucial because it also falls in a harsh aspect to Pluto, and it's opposite the sun. So opposite our agenda of harmony and balance is the planet Uranus, which is also unrest, but more of an excitement, an uneasiness. It's unpredictable. With Uranus, you never know what you're going to get. And because it's opposite us, it's what we're attracting, which can be our partners, our friends, our allies. But it can also be our known enemies, those people we know that oppose us. So because it's an unpredictable nature, we don't know what to expect from our friends or from our enemies.
So that's sort of like predicting the unpredictability.
Yeah, our friends and our enemies, we really, within this next 3 month period, we're not going to know what to expect. Things will come at us from out of the blue through other people, but these are people that we know are in our foundation already. And this opposition lies in contrast to Pluto, which is inner turmoil, like I said before, domestic unrest. We're going through so much right now on personal terms and as a country because our power base is being challenged. Pluto rules power. And I think within this 3 month period, you could see a resurgence of some of the unrest equivalent to what we saw maybe back in the 60s, you know, like the riots you had at the Democratic Convention in 1968, all the civil unrest that was popular back then. We're going to have a hint of that at the very least. It's also kind of a harbinger. Pluto rules terrorism. So it could be domestic terrorism at this time. There should be a high alert for domestic terrorism. Unrest coming from within. Because we're in a vulnerable position right now, not knowing what to expect from others, it leaves us vulnerable on the home front, too. Do you follow me with that?
Yeah, so let me ask you, so it's like basically more on the home front. Basically, it seems like unexpected things, events, basically, like, but we're going through, well, we've already had, like, yesterday, I know we had, what, the 400 points at the Dow, and then there's also Wall Street, there's been, which they've been trying to quell from the media, there's been major protests right on Wall Street itself, and they're trying to keep that so nobody really knows what's going on there. They're trying to divert the attention to that. But it's interesting that you say shocking, like, surprises and stuff like that with our enemies and stuff like that, because right now it seems like there's a calming, which is sort of weird. It's like what you said. I mean, it's almost like a calming before the storm, as they say.
Yeah, well, you're going to have the same configuration next year at the time of the election. And so pay really close attention what happens within this next 3 month period as far as domestic riots, urgings, radical parties, radical things, terrorism within. The unexpected elements can come from anywhere, but it'll be from people we know, we either perceive as our allies or we already know are in opposition to us. But you're right, it all correlates together. On a more positive note, the planet Venus, which rules love and money, the Dow Jones, your stock market and all that, is close enough to the sun, and it sort of sits on the midpoint between sun and Saturn. And Saturn is delays, restrictions, taking your time to actually build something. So we're rebuilding our wealth. We're reestablishing our economy and our financial foundation, but it's going to happen slowly. The desire is there, but we're still very, very dependent on other people for our finances. So, outsourcing and all that, where we depend on other nations to contribute to our economy and sustain us, that's going to be very much in the forefront, too. And I think anytime you're dependent on anybody for cash, whether it's your spouse, your parents, your children, you're always at the mercy of what they want you to do for them. So again, it puts us in a little bit of a vulnerable position.
That sounds like the with China, which they say like how much debt they're holding our paper. Maybe that's what you're referring to, because China seems to be the one that's actually supposedly, if you want to go on that way of level, looking at our economy, is bailing out the U.S. to some extent, and we're trying to keep a more balanced approach between ourselves, what we use from them, but also the stuff we buy. At the same time, we're trying to rebuild our economy by building our own manufacturing infrastructure, which is a big question, and it's like slowly but slowly. So it seems like if what you're saying is slowly by little, our economy is actually going to get a little bit better, and that, but we're still going to, with the help with through global marketing, if you want to call it, or the global economics, they call it, at the same time, we're still going to have these little surprises here and there over civil unrest, because, you know, we're still going to have a plethora of people who are without jobs. Poverty is going to be still really extremely high, and there's a big dissolvement of the middle class still that exists. Let me ask you that, just from, I don't want to get into it, what is, since housing is our homes and people have lost their homes in the last two, almost 3 years now, but from your, before going to the other aspects, what do you feel, because people have sent me messages, have always wondered about their homes and stuff. What do you see for his home life as far as people? Is there going to be continuation of foreclosures, or do you think, is that sort of, we're at the bottom of the barrel that's going to start changing, where people are going to be able to either buy new homes or won't get kicked out of their homes?
All I can say about that is there's still a lot of change and big, big, big changes. The economy, the housing market, that's not going to change us in the next 3 months. It's not even going to really, it's going to continue to change within the next 3 years. I mean, we're in the process of rebuilding. The desire's there. In order to move forward, not just in the housing market, but in any area, we're learning to do with less. In the 1990s, there was this, everybody was very ostentatious going into the turn of the century, where they wanted bigger houses. At least it was prevalent where I lived in the Northeast. Young couples wanted great, big houses. It didn't matter if you had any furniture to put in them. They wanted big houses. They wanted expensive cars in the driveway. Now we're going to have to go right back to the basics. We are hitting rock bottom. It feels like we're already there, but I don't. We're rebuilding out of the ashes, and that is especially true where the housing market's concerned. But in every area of work, our economy and our day-to-day existence, we're learning to do with less. We're making sacrifices. But in doing so, it's not for naught. It's in order to rebuild the economy. There's definitely a means to the end with what we're giving up. We may not be able to eat out every night or even once a week, or we may not be able to eat at the nice restaurants we used to eat at. We might have to be a little more economical. And in terms of that...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like everybody, because I know, even with myself, everybody I know is becoming more budget conscious. Before it was like, oh, we're hitting restaurant every day for lunches. Now it's like, well, I don't know. I bought my lunch, or I'm going to have swing by my house to make a lunch. Or, you know, they used to go out at night almost every other night. Now, they question, they're more budget oriented as far as. They use even down to the pennies to the dollars. I notice people are getting more and more thrift consciousness, you know. So they're getting
well,
back.
It goes back to the old cliche: the bigger they come, the harder they fall. We got to a real place of excess around the turn of the century, and now we're having this pretty significant depression. But it's all about checks and balances. It keeps things in proportions. I'm into interior design, and there's a huge throwback right now to the designs of the mid-century, like the 40s, 50s, and the 60s. It was a happier time in people's lives. People associate that era with, you know, family and just a better time to grow up. And I think it also puts things in perspective. Like when our parents bought houses, they didn't, you know, you were lucky you had one bathroom. Everybody shared it. You might have had a separate bathroom, a powder room, or another bathroom off the master bedroom. But nowadays, you would never buy a house without two bathrooms. It wouldn't have any resale value. So we're kind of getting back to the basics and putting things back in proportion. And to your original question about the housing market, over the next 10 years, we're going to be rebuilding out of the ashes of what happened with this downturn. It's an excellent time to buy properties, but I wouldn't expect them to go up overnight or be able to flip them right away. You know, we're talking about slow growth here. But we're the positive side of that is that we're in a forward movement, at least within this three-month period. Everything is forward progress, and people have sort of come to terms with the reality now. I always say there's work if you want to work. You just might not have the job you had before, and you might not have the income you had before. Some of the most successful people in the world, like Donald Trump, have had it, lost it, and rebuilt it. People that know how to manage money, know how to make money, know how to create money, can hit rock bottom and lose everything and come right back. So that's more of a personal thing. Where, what do you want to do? Where do you want to put your energies? But it definitely comes back to Uranus, which is thinking outside the box, doing something different. I have one friend who made tons of money in the pharmaceutical industry and loved her job, but her company was bought out by Pfizer, and she's been unemployed for almost 2 years. She's working again for another company, but she's not making the money she did before. But she's doing what she was doing before, only she's doing it for less because she loved it. So that if you want to make the same amount of money, you might have to do something different within, you know, the realms of chemistry. So it's time for us to reinvent ourselves if we're not making the income we were at one time, if we're not leading the lives we want to live. It's an ideal time to reinvent ourselves or reinvent our businesses and take it in a different direction. In my opinion, that's the only way we're going to get out of where we're at. Because if we're doing the same things we're doing before, we're just going to wind up in the same predicament of where we were before.
So let me ask it. So basically, we're going, as far as in the housing and the other stuff, it's a slow change, but as far as our own general, we're doing the most, we are, like you said, thinking, I like how you said thinking out of the outside of the box in order to establish ourselves economically. It's almost like it's sort of funny because it reminds me of like the, I guess, the 30s or 40s when you hear people doing very unusual things economically or means to better themselves or at least have their head above water. And then out of that actually became some unique and unusual things that actually spurred on. So it may be forcing us to rethink, and those rethinking is like betterment for ourselves. Like if you know, like right now they just I heard actually our government had one thing the Republicans and Democrats agree upon real quickly. They signed a new law to curtail or cut down majorly the paperwork and all that stuff regarding inventions, and they're trying to open up so it's those new ideas and new inventions can quickly come into getting their patents a lot streamlined really fast, which seems, you know, you think about back then during the, because we had at one time the turn of the century where we had economic chaos, and then again in the 30s and 40s, and there was a lot of invention and new things that had come out, and we're like being forced to the same thing, it seems like. Is that you catch that? Basically the same thing?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned, you actually said the word inventions, inventors, new ideas, technology. Those are all ideas, principles that are ruled by Uranus. And Uranus, when it moved into Aries for a little bit last summer, and it resurged into Aries last spring on the spring equinox, puts it in the most prominent part of the zodiac. and it's always going to have a major effect on the solstices and equinoxes. So with Uranus in this prominent position, it opens the door for inventions. It's so interesting what you just said, and Uranus rules technology, and nothing seems to advance or move faster than technology. We've said this before, but you can pretty much do everything from your cell phone, except get it to act as a microwave, and that'll probably be the next advance with it. Do you know what I mean? We can do everything from the palm of our hand right now. I think that's pretty incredible.
That is. And it's getting more and more. It's like, who would have thought like a BlackBerry walking around, or even an iPhone? And even the iPhone is, you know, and then they have the G4, G3, now G5. It's like now we're getting to the extent we have like a major computer within the palm of our hand. And you think this is just 10 years ago, you know, which have been, you know, 2001 would be unheard of. You know, everybody had their little flip phones. They didn't even think of that, you know. And then you go 20 years before that, you know, you had these phones that looked like blocks. So, yeah.
But you could still call somebody from your car. That was huge.
Yeah, that was. That was actually very huge. And the thing is, it's, you know, it's gotten more and more. I mean, now it's not even making phone calls. Now people are able, you know, send motion pictures. If you think about it, you send a video from your phone to somebody else's phone. A video. Now they're streaming. You're watching movies. You know, what Netflix has done with the streamlining of movies. So people now watch average movies, not just on, you know, they can, you know, get a DVD, but now it goes to your computer, and they're getting it to the point where it goes to your iPad or your phone. You know, things are getting so streamlined so fast that, you know, besides games and all the stuff in your palm of your hand, it's like things are moving really fast technologically. Let me ask you another thing, because I was curious, because with the advent of our energy situation, which just has a lot of crux to our economy and stuff, what do you see within the next 3 months as far as our energy situation or our invention of thereof? If something could be coming out of nowhere or whatever, or just in the same rut as before, like, because prices have been going up and up and up for gas. I mean, we're already at $4 a gallon, which is expensive for the U.S. Not for, unless you're in the U.K. or Europe, it's like that would be cheap. But
not really. It's expensive over there, and it's even more expensive in Canada. But all these new age ideas like using windmills for power, they still confront us. The only thing is, on a domestic level, we'd have to make so many changes to implement these ideas. And there's also the power struggle of the companies that would lose a lot of money if we did go to windmills, like the electric company. You know, so again, this is where that, what we call a T-square, comes into play. Sun, opposite Uranus, square Pluto. The sun has the desire for the technology, which is represented by Uranus, but it confronts us with making the necessary changes. People fear change in the unknown, so even though the concept looks really good on paper, and we have all these other resources that we could utilize without going to other nations, when it actually comes to implementing it, it becomes the challenge of the actual doing it or getting people to accept it. Because people like to do what's tried and true.
Right. So you're saying there's still going to be a definite wall for change or adjustment to change to any new forms of technology for betterment of our energy needs.
You have to. These are great ideas, but you have to get them specifically. And it makes me think of my parents, who are a little bit older now. They're so used to doing things a certain way that when you suggest something new, they get really upset. And I think it's just, there's an older generation out there that's absorbed so much technology over the last 20 years that it's hard for them to fathom the concept of doing things radically different. Where for the younger generation, and I kind of fall in the middle, they're the ones bringing in all these new ideas, and they have the open-minded concept. So, again, it's getting it through to people how it works, and the actual, once you get them hooked, you know, or sold on the idea, you still have to be able to implement it. I can just give you a real quick example. I live in a rather large development, as you know. It's comprised of little developments, and it's quite a large community in Las Vegas. And we had the opportunity to participate in what's called the pilot program as far as garbages go. It's where the garbage company supplies you with your own garbage pail, and instead of little recycling buckets, they give you another garbage pail for your recycling. You don't have to separate your recycling. You don't have to do anything with it except throw it in this bucket. And it comes once a week instead of every 2 weeks. And I went to my homeowners meeting, and there was a huge uproar where people did not want this. They didn't think it was a good idea. These are sealed off containers. They're not open like recycle buckets were, you know. But yet they were going to complain about the odors. They were just terrified of the idea of changing things and implementing the change. And on that small scale, it kind of represents, you know, the fear of the unknown, the fear of change.
Which is sort of like what happens in our sciences. I don't know if you know, just like, I don't know if this is just coincidence. It just came out publicly. I don't want to sound and get all Einstein here, but because it's sort of funny, this Einstein. They just came out and they showed, this just came out in I guess it was in Switzerland, where they found out, like, things can go faster than the speed of light. Like, they just did that crashing with the subparticles or whatever, which what it does by saying going faster than the speed of light is now a new, unbroke the old law that's been understood with Einstein, which is now mind-boggling to not just the scientists, but just thinking of our old ways of thinking. But what you're saying, even just because that is sort of a little Poindexter, if you want to call it that, but it seems like all, not just like that just came out and there's going to be, you know, people are like unfathomed, they don't even understand it. It's like beyond concepts. So there's going to be like a restriction of learning new things or things that are can enlighten us, if you want to say, because people want to hold on to the old. Is that more or less what you're saying?
That's what I'm seeing, and it's weird. You keep using all these words like inventions, the speed of light and sound and enlightenment. These are all Uranus terms. So you're really embracing the Uranian concept. But like I said, there's an older generation that just when they learned how to program their VCRs, so they came out with DVD players. And you'll notice a lot of the baby boomers still have VCRs and still use them. You know, my in-laws didn't like their internet phone, so they went back to a landline phone in their brand new house. And they're pretty open-minded, intelligent people. My husband and I don't even have phone lines in our house anymore. I think we covered them up or cut them off or using them for electrical outlets now. So, you know, there's certain portions, and the baby boomers make up a very large portion of the population. So it's getting new concepts through to people that have done things a certain way for like 70 years. You know, and even the people that are bright enough, like my father-in-law is one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. You know, he would, you know, grasp these concepts in a heartbeat, but actually having him implement it would be two totally different ball games.
You know, it's sort of surprising you say that because I'm part of the baby boomer, and maybe it's out of age. Some people say when you're younger, you're all liberal and ready to stick your head out, and then when you get older, you become more conservative. I don't know if that's so true. But it's sort of ironic that you said that because in the 60s and 70s, they were trying to do everything new, even invention, technology, concepts, everything was new.
The space program.
Yeah, space program, you name it. And then the same generation, here we are, well, wait a second, whoa, that is like it's mind-boggling. It's too much information. I can't handle it. It's too much change. You know,
too much change. They can grasp the idea. They're one of the, you know, they're a very intelligent sector of the population. More things, I think, were created, discovered, and the art and music of the time of the baby boomers was the most profound of the last century. But getting them to, you know, like I said, one thing to embrace an idea, it's another thing to implement it. So this is sort of the dynamics that are going on in this chart. We're only talking about a 3-month period. But Uranus also rules politics. I know that's another one of your favorite areas. And we have, you know, this election coming up a year from now and the politics confronting us. And I think you're going to see a lot of domestic unrest, one of my, you know, radical things going on with upcoming political parties and elections. So that's something to really keep your eye on.
Yeah, let me ask you that, because what I'm finding out, and this is actually coming out in recent polls, which is sort of bizarre world, is it's finding out that more and more that people like don't trust the with Obama feeling what he's done as a president and the Democrats, but the same token, they don't like the GOP, you know, the Republicans, and I think it's becoming. It's weird because I was independent for a long time and up into the 90s until like late 90s, I became back Democrat. And then now going back to independent, I found out, well, I'm not the only one. I'm finding not just people who are whether either party or either affiliations. There's like more and more independents and more people looking at both parties and both politicians and the ones that they're actually throwing in front of us, pre-selected at us, I would say. Are really people are frustrated because it's like, you know, I would say like here we have with I really tried my best, president. That's like Obama versus the Looney Tunes, you know, where they think that the world is flat. Candidates and it's always voting for the lesser of two evils. Well, now it's gotten to the point. Don't vote for that guy because he's worse than me. That's what their campaigns are now, and I think people are so frustrated with that. They're going, why can't I vote for the person who's best for this country? And you think in this our country alone, just in the U.S., with the intelligence and people who can do things, how this is the best we got for the America? I mean, seriously, think about it. Is this the best candidates, you know, running our country? Candidates should be the best people in the United States, for example. Are these the best people that we have? You know, that's a. I think most people are like rolling their eyes, you know?
When it comes to, like you were talking about Democrat, Republican, it really doesn't matter because political figures will switch sides or switch parties no matter what their agenda, and taper their agenda to get elected. So, you know, being independent makes a lot more sense, and Uranus, you keep using words, Uranus rules independence. So with it being the most prominent part of the zodiac for the first time in 84 years, give or take, you're going to see, you know, maybe the rise of an independent next year or the independent party do more than, because like you said, everybody's disillusioned with either side.
Yeah, that's why I'm wondering. Maybe this is, you know, you talk about the uncontrolled. You okay?
Yeah, I apologize. Excuse me.
Sorry. The growth of independence is, to me, looks like more people are awakening, but they're more frustrated of waking up to that we've been like tricked, you know. Because I think like back in 2008, everybody who actually because the hope thing and the gung ho and you know this whole oh boy we're going to be saved by one guy kind of thing with Obama, for example. And then it came to reality that, hey, that's not what reality is. And people go, well,
basically, anybody could have run against the GOP after George Bush, and they would have won because everybody was so disillusioned with that presidency.
Right. And like, and it's like, not to do a comparison, but here's like with Senator Reid in Nevada, for those who don't know, they had an election when he was running, and literally, you could have a box run against him and could have beaten Reid. But who do they have? They had a lady who ran, Engel, who was such a nutcase, and it was like, oh my God, well, we don't like him, but we can't have her. It makes people more frustrated. So I think when you're talking about civil unrest, I could see civil unrest. Not that I want to, you know, I'm not broadcasting it here. Hello, okay, FAA or any of those NSA.
No, but I think you're going to see a very dramatic reaction within the next 3 months of things that are going on politically worldwide, but within our country and within ourselves, you're going to see a big reaction, something you know, a big response, turbulent, you know, equivalent to what we saw in the 60s when people were reacting out against. Don't forget, they had the Vietnam War back then. A lot of people are tired of these wars, and this war is an unnecessary death. So you're going to see a lot of reaction to that, too. And even, you know, and then we become dependent on these other countries to help us out. But at the same time, we know they're not good for us. You're going to see backlash with that, especially around December, late November, December, when the eclipses hit again. You're going to see the repercussions for us bending down and, you know, appeasing the people that we're dependent on.
Let me ask you this, because in your report, you mentioned something with between religious as opposed to conflicts, because it's starting to happen actually overseas between Muslim and Christian, or not actually Muslim anti-Muslim reaction, and I don't want to get into the dynamics of that overseas, but it's definitely happening in Europe, a counterbalance to what's going on, and. Is this sort of what you see in nature with because of the it's a sort of influence, if you want to call it, with the astrological thing that you were talking about with part of the unrest?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, back in the 60s, it was more racial. It was a big divide between the black and the white community. You know, you had a lot of civil unrest on that note. Now, this is strictly my perception. It's like more we're fighting internally over religious differences. Even with the immigration that we had at the turn of like the 20th century, the early 1900s, you were bringing in a lot of Italians, a lot of Irish, and they were ostracized too. And a lot of them were Catholic as opposed to the Protestant principles, but it was all Christianity. Now you're bringing in Muslim, Hinduism, and all different cultural religions, and you know, then it seems that there's a lot of debate being stirring up around that. At least that's my perception, and a lot of the Christian values that this country was founded on are like, again, are being, you know, people sort of see, I think, beyond the basic concepts of Christianity now. A lot of us are higher minded to how good it is, but there's a lot more out there. But when you start taking away the basic principles, like out of our schools and stuff, I don't know how you feel about this being Jewish, but just taking God out of, you know, the schools, which I don't know if it really has a place there, we're seeing a lot more violence instead. Where, you know, I don't think it's necessarily working out to our advantage. And if you're bringing in different religions that are in conflict with our Christian values, you're going to have a big problem on your hands domestically.
Well, I think it's actually not just, it's out of, actually the verses, I think, is the one of tolerance and not tolerance. It's like, there's one thing like somebody, this is what's happening in Europe, because we're basically sort of a salable melting pot, which is so different than the Europeans. They tend, there's a reaction like it's supposed, like over there, and then they impose a culture upon the people who are there, instead of not necessarily assimilating, but you know, respecting their value. Because when you go to, let's say, I go to the UK, I mean, I agree with their stuff, but that's their country, and I sort of respect it. And if you're living there, then you've been invited to live there. You sort of like, okay, that's their basis. In the US, it's sort of a little different, and especially it's regional, because in like California and there, it's always had a Latino culture by it. But then when you have another group of people who come here and then outside, and then they literally force, you know, this is my way, the highway, and you're the wrong way, as opposed to, well, this is my way, but I respect your way, and I'm feeling happy just to be being here, right? Instead of being that way, they're like, no, it's my way, and I want you to believe now my way, because now I'm on your land. So that's sort of, I think, the reaction that people see to a lot of extent.
Would it be right for me to go to Israel and say I want you to embrace my Christian values and respect all my Christian customs?
Right, that's the problem. There's like a it's like this is what's happening. I know people who are friends of mine who are even in Holland. Holland's extremely tolerant to people. They don't care what you believe in. You can believe in a rock, and they're really open. But when you go, hey, now you have to believe in my rock. They're going, wait a second, we invited you to our home, and now you're telling me what kind of, you come to my house, but now you're gonna, and I'll let you live in my house, and you can buy your food whatever you want, but now you're telling me I can't eat my Dutch cheese anymore. You know, I can't have my Dutch milk, I can't drink my Grosch beer, I have to, you know. Then they're going, wait a second, you know, and so that's a version of, I look as more issue versus tolerance, you know, and that's why I was just curious. But I want to get into some other aspects that you presented in your thing, because this, I can see what you're talking about as opposed to a racial thing of a religion, but the religious issue I think is more of tolerance and how the U.S., we try to be politically correct, but finally our political correctness is sort of like biting us in the butt because it's not reality.
Well said.
Now, let me ask you this. The national agenda, which is much as on a spotlight, and I know people are listening around the world and stuff, but what happens in the U.S. does, you know, I hate to say does greatly affect the world, you know, and we are a world economy and stuff, so... And actually, ironically, when Europe is affected, we are affected. Like, I remember the stock market had dropped, and we were actually doing quite well. The economy was moving along, and then all of a sudden, Greece went bankrupt, and then the stock went berserk, and then the EU is now going more bankrupt. So then it goes down further, and people don't realize how intertwined we are to even outs, like you had said earlier, with outside monies, and how now... whatever happens with the Chinese happens to us, and whatever. That's why people don't realize the Chinese need us as much as we need them, because we both buy their goods at the same time they're financing us, so it goes back and forth constantly. But I want to get to this other aspect because we only got a few 10 minutes. I want you to tell, you know, how people can get in touch with you, but that there's a, you said something about a healing aspect that we're heading into, like, I don't know if I'm saying this is right, something with eclipses or something like that. I don't know, maybe I'm not friends talking about right.
No, it just, healthcare comes into focus really strong in this chart, the healthcare debate and also unemployment and employment statistics. And everything's obscured in this chart in the sign of Pisces. Pisces doesn't always present things clearly. So what I wrote literally in my report is don't expect unemployment statistics to reflect the actual truth, because the government probably even has no idea what they are. And if they're really bad, they're going to do the best they can to obscure them. Healthcare, Pisces rules is one of the healing signs. But it's very much connected to the Pisces would be more the mind-body-soul connection, healing from the inside out rather than just taking a pill because you have an issue. Look at what the underlying issue is and work on that. If you could even correlate your physical issues to a psychological issue, even better. You know, healing has the potential now to go a lot deeper, and we learn this from other countries and other cultures. And again, there's a couple eclipses, one at the end of November and at least one in December, that are going to emphasize this and bring these points home. So it's positive for more holistic or metaphysical healing.
So let me on one aspect, because it's sort of like two things. You're talking about unemployment in relation to our health, but you're saying our health care on the mental health concerns that...
mental health is going to play a big role. Pisces rules mental health. I'm sorry. The sector that I'm talking about rules the job market and the health care market. So it's two separate things, but it falls within the same house. You know, there's always health care opportunities, you know, employment opportunities in health care. It's a growing industry. So that's one way they relate. But I think it's just in terms of general health care, you know, and in terms of unemployment, your facts are going to be obscured. Things aren't going to be clear. The positive side to that, though, is that more holistic approach to healing, or the openness to it. Sorry.
Yeah, so that makes sense, because, like, as people are getting depressed from the economy, I guess. and I noticed what you're saying, because there's people that I've been I work with helping and consulting. They elaborate to me that they're moving. These are like psychologists and stuff. They're actually moving, trying to get people to, you call psychics or whatever, doing spiritual work to utilize to help whether both medical plus spiritual side. And then there's a lot of people utilizing spiritual concepts to recognize that, you know, the mental health is not by a pill, but by, you know, changing people's thought patterns. People are getting more understanding that thoughts are things, and it's changing tapes as opposed to just, here's a pill to fix your brain. Oh, you're a manic depressant, so we're going to think you're bipolar, or you're this thing. They used to think of by a pill as opposed to, you know, now they're looking at more in a spiritual context, or actually more of quantum way of looking at the brain, if you want to call it that. I actually jumped on one thing, and I want to get to another thing, because I know you had mentioned in your report, and I know I haven't, people don't see it, but I know you're going to have it on your site. So, but you had mentioned that something about the Foreign Affairs Department, and there's going to be secret plans involving intelligence and something with the 12th house or something. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, the planet Mercury, which rules communication, intelligence, and all that, has been trailing the sun this year. So every time we get to a solstice or an equinox chart, it winds up in the 12th house, which is things behind the scenes or things that are hidden. And it rules the sector of foreign affairs. Well, again, we're fortunate through others, but because we are dependent on them, it is to our undoing. And if there's any secret plans or secret negotiations going on, they could be exposed around the November-December time period, coinciding with the eclipses, because eclipses bring hidden things to light.
So you mean there's going to be an exposure of some, almost like WikiLeaks type of thing again? Is that...
That's your interpretation. I'm not making a concrete prediction, but I'm saying anything... You know, what? That we do that's underhanded or undermined in terms of foreign correspondence, foreign affairs, foreign dependency, has the potential to be exposed around that time period.
Okay. Well, I was saying Lycan, not necessarily WikiLeaks, but something similar to it. Like right now they've, like, was it Murdoch got busted for, what was it, hit and with Fox and all them for getting people's emails and using that against them and stuff. Anyway, before we close, which was an interesting thing you got into, which is the escape situation, as you compared it to, like, during the 30s and, you know, that time period where people, when they're into that oppression thing, they get into reliance on something you said about the Neptune being the great escape artist for us, for world attainment. You want to elaborate on that?
Well, Neptune is this planet that rules Pisces. It obscures things. It's illusions. It gives rise to the entertainment industry, because that's what movies are, is illusions. And in this chart, it falls in the house of pleasure. What do? For pleasure, we watch movies. It's a form of escape. I'd say more people probably watch movies and play video games than read now, as was back in previous centuries. So, I kind of called it out wrong in my written report with Netflix, because I understand that this week Netflix has shot themselves in the foot and done something where they're losing millions of customers, which can propel people to go back to the theaters, see things larger than life. So I think the movie industry will do quite well within the next 3 months. Anything that provides escape. One thing that I didn't write in my report that can be very prevalent that relates back to the economy and all the world changes is addiction. When people are unemployed, they become more prone to alcoholism and addiction. And addiction can play a large role in this chart too. But then it goes full circle back to the healing. And the way out of addiction is spiritual healing. So whatever you use to escape, whether it's drugs, alcohol, movies, you're going to see a lot of that. And, you know, one's positive, one's negative. It's free will and it's choice, how people choose to
That's a definite, you know.
Use their free time.
Yeah, if you, you know, if you want to suck, stick your face in a bong for 4 hours or suck down a six packs of beer and a bottle of vodka, go watch a movie instead or something.
Or put it to creative use. Neptune also rules creativity, and it's in the house of creativity. So we could see maybe an emergence of artists, painters, really creative, productive people. We could see a huge resurgence in that right now. So
It's funny you say, because during the 30s, actually, that's the Steinbecks and all the huge classic writers came out during that time, which is sort of amazing. That was a lot. One of the largest resurgence, if you look at all the authors that just came out of the U.S., came out during the 20s and actually the 30s. The classics, I mean, from all of them, they all came out during that time period. Upton Sinclair, all of them came around that time.
You know, what else came out of the 30s real quick is Depression-era glass. They used to put it in laundry soap, so people would buy laundry soap and finish their glass collections. And I believe they also handed it out at the movie theaters. If you bought admission to the movies, they'd give you a piece of, you know, one of the pieces that went with the collection. And if you bought it at the concession stand, but that's when Depression-era glass came out. And people think it's really valuable, but it's not. But that it came out in that era to encourage people to spend money.
So let me ask it, so people out there who are listening in, how could they contact you to both get a reading as well as getting astrological report or a chart or analysis?
Very easy. You can go to my website, which is zodiacbuzz.com. You can book a reading right from my main page, either tarot or astrology. Tarot is really good for answering immediate concerns, and it looks at the immediate future. Astrology, like we've seen on the show or heard on the show, we cover a broader perspective, life cycles, patterns, and the predictive tool is more where are you at in your life at this point and where are you going. Like I said, either reading can be booked from my main page. You can call me toll-free, 866-395-1340, and you can also email me at leorising67@yahoo.com. I'm also on Facebook. I'm a friend of yours if people want to add me. I might be downsizing, though. Facebook's going through some changes, and there's all that stuff going on. But thank you for having me on the show and being able to share this with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you, Carrie, and everybody out there, especially internationally, you can contact Carrie, like I said, through her website and through her telephone and email to do either a astrological analysis report or get a reading. She does do that live for you. So do contact her. She's extremely, extremely highly accurate. You can listen to three years I've had you on. Actually, no, excuse me, since now I remember, since the elections, when you first came out and talked about who was being president, you said Obama was being president and Edwards was being caught with having an affair, which was amazing. So do check her out and do contact her. I highly, highly recommend her. Again, Carrie, thank you for coming on my show. And everybody out there, God bless you. And have a great, great weekend. Thank you, and God bless. Love and light.